Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Robb.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back, folks. Hope everybody's having a good Monday. It's Isaac. That's me, Big Zook, right over there.
Happy Earth Day. So,
brother,
I don't know, kiss Mother Earth. Dusty licked the sidewalk today. I don't know if that had anything to do with Earth Day, but I saw a video of him. He went outside and he licked the ground.
Why?
I don't know.
Hey, will you shut up?
You ever have one of those things where you see something and you're mildly interested in it, but not enough to really dig and find out why?
All the time.
That was one of those. I don't know if it was like he said he would kiss Mother Earth if he lost a bet. I was just scrolling through Twitter this morning, and they do their own little video in the morning, the Dusty and Cam show, and they were outside and Dusty was licking the ground.
Yeah, I saw that too. You know, we're really pushing our social media thing around here.
Yeah, it's a big company-wide agenda.
Will Darkens.
Yeah.
He's in charge of that.
He's dialed in.
You know what he did today? He came over and he took a photo, or no, video.
A boomerang.
What's that?
That's like where like it just, I think it's like the new meme or whatever, right? It's like a repeated clip over and over and over again.
We sound like a couple of olds over there, Preston.
I wanted to let them keep going. I mean, that's pretty much what it is. It's like a little
one-second
thing on loop. It's like a GIF almost of a real-life situation.
Yes.
But you can't call them GIFs anymore. They're boomerangs.
Because it boomerangs back and forth. That's like the whole point of the thing.
Well, he took a boomerang or whatever it is of me eating my peanut butter and jelly sandwich, which was a horrible decision.
Now, did you get it out of the...
Yes.
Oh.
So I didn't have time to eat after golf today. So I came in here and we have the Aventi Market where we can buy things here right in our building.
Solid salads.
They have some good stuff in there, but I was looking for a sandwich and some chips, right? That's what I wanted for lunch.
Sure.
And so I picked through the sandwiches. I'm like, well, the safest is probably PB&J.
You know why you're wrong there?
Why?
Because here's the thing. The PB&J is usually a solid go-to, right? You can't really screw up PB&J. The problem is that's a refrigerated sandwich, which means the peanut butter is cold and hard and not warm and creamy.
It was.
And that ruins a PB&J.
Yeah, and I didn't think like that. As a matter of fact, that's what I get for ordering kid food, which I don't eat a lot of PB&J. I'm like, you know what? This is probably the safest. I'll just have that. It was horrible.
Yeah, but sometimes at home, like I'll be like on a Saturday. It's usually a Saturday, Sunday afternoon. You're sitting around and I've got nothing to eat. And there's always a PB&J around to make it. You put that maybe with some like Ruffles and like a nice lemonade on a nice summer day. Tell you what, delicious. It's wonderful.
So the listeners are chiming in. The listeners that listen in the mornings.
Yeah.
And what they are saying is that Dusty mentioned that he has such a strong immune system because he has two little rat fart kids.
Yeah. Because the kids bring home all kinds of like the Andromeda strain and like, you know, just disgusting things.
So he claimed that he has a great immune system. And so he was asked to prove it.
Uh-huh.
And so he licked the sidewalk.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
So if he doesn't get sick,
then that
he wins.
Interesting.
I mean, I don't know.
Licked the You ever lick a sidewalk?
No.
No, I can't.
No.
Can't say that would be high. And if I did say that I could do that and you were like, prove it, I would be like, no. No.
Take my word for it.
Yeah. We're going to just go on my word that I don't get sick a lot and nuts to you.
So are people rooting for him to get sick or?
Yeah, I think there's an element. When you say that
if he gets sick, that's a really dumb way to get sick.
It is. Because like, it's not like I got to believe that like a sidewalk is not like the worst thing that you could lick.
So the dump.
If he wanted to prove it, he should lick a doorknob. Ugh. Right? Or a cell phone. Those are the ones that carry more germs than anything else. You should go lick a doorknob in a the bathroom or wherever that is.
Yeah, why'd they choose the sidewalk? It's kind of weird.
It was like out here on the running trail. It looked like they keep it pretty clean out there. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, you got to lick a doorknob or whatever to prove it. Or like lick a dollar bill. That's another one. They say money's like really gross. Mm.
All right. Well, the Blazers are up 3-1 on the Thunder. How have they done it, Jace? How have they done it? This will be discussed on our show in our next segment. How have they done it? How?
Well, I can't tell you till next segment. You just said it.
I know.
I mean,
that's a great tease, isn't it?
Just trying to follow the lead.
Pro.
Do you think he sanitized his tongue afterwards with hand sanitizer? You just eat some hand sanitizer after licking the sidewalk?
Would that do anything?
Like if you licked the sidewalk and then immediately put some hand sanitizer on it, would that go a no counties?
I don't.
We have keyboards on here.
I think you have doubled down on your dumb quotient for the day by doing that.
By licking some hand sanitizer?
Yeah.
So you lick the sidewalk, then lick some hand sanitizer?
Yeah, again, I think you're doubling down on the dumb there. I just don't know if that does any good, but maybe it would.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Don't lick a sidewalk.
So that's in our next segment. Do we have a spring football recap here? Well, if I have anything to do with it, the answer is no. But I'm open to Preston or Jason bringing something to the table on that.
Hot spring game talk, because both the Beavs and the Duckies, they had theirs. Slightly different turnouts.
What about a Kansas football spring game recap?
I could give you one.
Have they had it yet?
I don't know, but...
So clearly you were following it just...
I've been following on social media Les Miles, you know, because he's the coach at Kansas now.
Yes.
I've been following him, and they do a pretty good job of kind of, you know, shoving out just less being less.
Sure.
And it's fantastic.
Well, look, in today's day and age, right?
He's the man.
When you don't have a whole lot going for your program, you have to find a way. That's what I talked about with Oregon State. Like, they did the new uniform thing, right? They did the combine. They're doing, like, the hype video now, running through the forest or whatever. They're really pushing the chainsaw. Like, they are trying to form some kind of identity, because when you don't have, and the same thing with Kansas, they're selling the Les Miles thing. Mm-hmm. You, in today's world of college football, you have to have something to sell. Mm-hmm. And when you don't have a lot to sell, you better create something. Whether it seems silly or artificial, you better have something that you sell recruits to make you stand out.
Why did you just bust into hot spring football takes? Jeez.
Well, that's what
caught me off guard.
There you go.
I'm scared now.
Do you guys see the final score of the Rutgers football spring game? It was like 118 to 115. They were playing by a weird scoring system.
Yeah, Sweet. It's like one of those, like they
no,
it's
I'll watch
not
that.
A, it's not Rutgers about like an end folks. Zone thing. It's like if you get a first down, you get points. If you get a tackle for a loss, it's one of those.
All right. Well, anyway, hope your kids threw a few elbows trying to get those extra Easter eggs yesterday.
Yeah, and licked a sidewalk in the process.
That's what it's all about. In the club, it was only a matter of time before we had fake a vacation.
Fake a vacation.
Yes, this will be in the club. Also, I do believe you have been feverishly researching worst things to do in Portland.
I did look it up. I looked up TripAdvisor, and I think we need to rank
the most overrated things to do.
And underrated.
Yeah, I think we should do the underrated part, too.
Sure, absolutely.
There is some of that, too.
Because it's like everyone's going to poop on stuff, but there's some great things to do in Portland that we don't necessarily get credit for.
All right, right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
I think it's really exciting.
Stop breaking news, dude.
Number five.
I see here, Jace. There are two games on the ice tonight.
You are correct, sir. Now,
the ice. That's hockey.
In hockey, the number one seed in the East and the West, gone.
Oh.
Tampa Bay.
I told you.
Tampa Bay eliminated. Calgary, gone.
How are my moose knuckles doing?
Think about that. Well, the moose knuckle warriors, we haven't got into round two yet, but
they haven't lost.
They haven't lost. They are undefeated in the postseason. The Moose Knuckle Warriors, a.k.a. the Columbus Blue Jackets. But imagine Milwaukee and Golden State both being heaved out in the first round.
It would never happen in the NBA.
No.
It just wouldn't.
But it happens in the NHL.
The Capitals are leading 3-2 in the series over the Hurricanes. And Capitals leading 2-1 in game 6 right now. They are early in the second. And then the Predators and Stars, they are later. Dallas leading that series 3-2.
Number 4.
The Mariners are back to being the best team in baseball after taking 3 of 4 from the Angels in Los Angeles. Seattle is scoring 6.5 runs per game with over 2 home runs per game.
It is unbelievable. Now, I don't know whether you think this is sustainable or not, but the offensive output that they have is silly right now considering what they got rid of in the offseason.
Mets and Phillies are in a rain delay. By the way, the Mariners don't play tonight. They are in San Diego for a pair beginning tomorrow. Mets and Phillies are in a rain delay. The Royals lead the Rays 2-1. I tell you that because they're winning. Had they been losing, I wouldn't say it.
You would just kind of brush that off.
Hey, do you care about the White Sox Orioles? Say no.
Nope.
Yeah, there's nothing really else, nothing major going on. It's really about the Mariners, man. They are 16-9.
It's without necessarily great pitching or much of a bullpen. They just hit home runs.
Their bullpen is ranked 24th. Yeah. In baseball.
Yet they have a run differential of plus 32, which I think is second only to the, well, our soon-to-be Portland Rays, right?
Hopefully, our Rays. One of the top college basketball recruits in the nation has chosen Duke. I know, Cal Ripley's.
I think it's, what, the third or fourth year I saw that Duke basically, they say with this, they've strangled their hold. They will have the number one recruiting class again.
Once again, Cal Ripley's.
Yeah. Nemec said that I saw a tweet where this kid, he had Oregon as the finalist, but they said that basically that was like a in name only. He had considered Oregon at one point, but no one expected him to go anywhere other than Duke.
This is Cassius Stanley. He's a top 30 guard, chose Duke over Oregon, Kansas, UCLA. Coach K, the number one recruiting class for the 5th time in 6 years. Oregon is a finalist for Greg Anthony's kid, Cole, who is a 5-star guard. He was just here at the Nike Hoop Summit a couple weekends ago.
But again, I think
he is going to announce tomorrow morning. He'll be doing it on live television on ESPN's show called Get Up. And he has 4 schools on his list: Notre Dame, Georgetown, Oregon, and North Carolina.
And again, our recruiting insider, Andrew Nemec, says that that's more than likely North Carolina, and that Oregon, again, probably just a placeholder. Not much speculation that he will actually sign with the Duckies.
Got to pay more, man.
He was born here, though. He was born in Portland.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. You got to pay more.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Gotta give him that cheese. Gotta give him that bread.
Although it didn't work at LSU. Remember, their coach said that he was pissed off that their very strong offer wasn't enough.
Well, they got Bol Bol, but that didn't really pay dividends.
Nah, they got him for 8 games.
Seahawks are talking trade with several teams about franchise-tagged defensive end Frank Clark. Colts, Chiefs, and Jets have engaged Seattle with just a few days left before the NFL draft. Round 1 is on Thursday.
Yeah, it sounds like they're looking for at least a first-round pick for him. And this just comes down to, again, money, right? You can't sign everyone, and Frank Clark has been great since they drafted him, but they need, they got to save some cash.
Well, he'll get $17 million on the franchise tag this year, and any team trading for him would need to pony up that cheese, that bread long term. But, yeah, do you think a first-round pick for him is that's good?
Well, I'd rather have Frank Clark. But, again, when it comes to the NFL,
you can't pay him.
And if you don't think you can pay him long term, then, yeah, I think getting a first-rounder for Frank Clark, you're happy with that. Anytime you lose a guy, you're not going to get multiple ones for Frank Clark. So, yeah, if you get a first for him, you take it and you move on and hope that you can draft well.
The Blazers have been instilled a slight favorite for tomorrow's Game 5 with the Thunder. It is 3-1 in favor of Portland. The point spread, to be exact, is Blazers minus 3.5. Tonight in the playoffs, Pistons have the early lead on the Bucks, but that series is as good as finished. That's in Detroit. And then the Rockets and Jazz play tonight in Utah, and Houston leads that series 3-0.
Yeah, the sweep is coming.
Man, I got to tell you, did any of these first-round series besides the Blazers and Thunder do anything for you?
I've watched a little bit of Denver and San Antonio, and that's been fun, and there's been some drama there. Haven't paid much attention to the East. So, no, it's really just been those two, Portland and then the San Antonio-Denver. And some of that, too, is the fact that you want to see who comes out of that for the second-round opponent, because the We assume Portland wins this series, and then they'll get the winner of San Antonio and Denver.
The Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Frostbrewed Coors Light. Duck and Beaver fans, as you power up for game day, grab Frostbrewed Coors Light. Please drink responsibly. Let's talk about it. Blazers have a 3-1 lead. May get out of the first round. How have they done it? We'll talk about it next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's a big day because people are feeling pretty good.
I think 538 has it now at, what, 98% that Portland wins this series?
That's probably because they're up 3-1, don't you think?
Yeah, and coming home.
Yeah. It is 3-1, Blazers over the Thunder. Game 4 last night was, it was glorious for a lot of reasons. I think that was one of the bigger games in the Damian Lillard era, in my opinion. They really, really, really needed that.
You didn't want to come back here 2-2, all the momentum being blown. Oklahoma City thought they had some confidence, were getting a little, you know, a little talkative, a little chippy there after game 3. Portland stayed the course and shut them up.
Well, and looked really good doing it.
Yep.
I mean, they, you know, you can say all you want. Russell Westbrook shot him out of that game. And you know, he definitely did settle a lot. But that, you know, I think, well, I don't know what point in the game it was. I think it was like, might have been after halftime, but maybe mid-third. He just stopped shooting Westbrook. Like, somebody got through to him and was like, dude.
Stop.
Stop, and he did. And they didn't come back. I mean, the Blazers, God, they were up. So they were down 6 or 7. Westbrook's showing off. Fans going crazy. They go on an 11-0 run in the last 2.5 minutes of the first half. Boy, that was huge. Huge, just because it came out of nowhere. And then they're up 4 going into the second half, and they turned that into 19 or 18 or whatever it was in a hurry.
Yeah, they've had these weird quarters that they feel like, again, this is, I don't want to compare them to it, but Golden State does this where they go on a run where the defense gets cranked up, they start hitting shots, and there's just this wave of momentum, and they bury a team there with one of these big run quarters. And if they've done that 3 times and all 3 of their wins in this series, they have had a monster quarter where Oklahoma City just has no answer for them.
Well, and I think a lot of Blazer fans, and rightly so, were nervous all the way until the final buzzer, right? Because
they make you sweat a little bit.
They pulled it down to 8 or 9 or whatever. And you know, Paul George, so you kind of go, oh boy, here it comes. And George hit that 3 right at the end of the third. It's like, oh boy, this thing's going to come down to the wire, isn't it? Well, the Blazers just stepped up and held their foot on their throat. I mean, it really was never in doubt.
No.
After they went on that run in the second half. And I think that's one of the more impressive things too. It's like, again, you can sit and trash Oklahoma City and the narrative will be, you know, they're not very good and they're flawed and they need a new coach or they need to split up Westbrook and George or whatever they're talking about there. But the reality is Blazers have gone out and won this series. And it's not over yet, but I think most people feel pretty good about it at this point. They got to finish it off, and you never take anything for granted. But they needed this so bad for their franchise, and they've done it. Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum both have just been sensational.
Two best players in the series have
and
been
I think
those two.
The big thing for me is they're just, you know, they're not, like, my opinion of their roster hasn't changed at all. I mean, I don't think it's that great. And they don't have Nurkic, which makes it all the more impressive. But I think what you're seeing is you're seeing a maturity and a confidence grow out of taking their playoff lumps, Lillard and McCollum. I think they really learned. They've learned. One, the Warriors are just damn good. When you get into a couple of series with them, you probably learn a few things, right?
Yeah.
Even though you don't stack up to them, it's like, you know, they've played them, what, twice or 3 times? I think 3 times.
In the postseason in this Lillard era?
Yeah, because the first time,
at least twice.
The first time they played him in the second round, and they kind of gave him a run for their money.
That was they got swept, but every game. Yeah, I think they got swept, but every one of those games was close.
I think they won one
game.
No, they won.
Yeah,
they won. And then they almost won game 4, but Harrison Barnes hit a 3 back when he was there with like 6 seconds left to send it to OT, and then they won game 4 in OT.
I remember
Curry,
that.
That's the one that Curry came back.
Yeah, he was like 0-for-11
he missed
in
the first
4 quarters, dude, and then he went off in overtime.
They pushed them in that series, and then I think they played him 2 other times, one time swept, one time 5 games, I think. Anyway. Point being, you learn from that, right? You play the best, and then you get your ass kicked by the Pelicans.
Humbling, humiliating,
totally.
And both Dame and CJ have said that they have really, they let that sit. Like, they didn't just erase that from the memory. That was a motivational tool the entire year.
And you do some soul searching, and you keep working, and you have great leadership with the Stotts and Lillard especially, in that the role guys, they're enabled. Yeah. Like, they are. I watched that game last night and just go with, like, the, I don't know, I keep using that Morris kid for Oklahoma City as an example, but insert Ray Felton, insert any of these role guys for Oklahoma City. And those guys, I think, while good players, or the, if you look at Oklahoma City's roster, you go, man, that's pretty good, especially with Paul and Paul George and Russell Westbrook. But you look at some of those role guys and you go, man, they just, I think they're scared of the stars, right? Like, they don't have a chemistry that the Blazers have. And you can, it's like so glaring, the differences between the two teams. While Oklahoma City more talented, they're just fragmented. And then you look, and then you watch the Blazers and you watch their role guys, and they're not as talented. Like, the Myers Leonard, Zach Collins, come on. But those guys feel like, Lillard is such a good leader and the chemistry is so good that those guys play better because they feel enabled by the leaders. And I just think that is a direct result of Lillard and McCollum's, mainly Lillard's leadership. And I think that's why those guys look so much better than they actually are on paper.
There has been an article, or the at least kind of a story that has come out just this year about what Harkless, Cantor, McCollum, Collins, Lehman, Curry, Hood have all talked about how comfortable they feel in this team setting and leadership and brotherhood and all the, you know, kind of, I roll my eyes sometimes. Quick even said it. He goes, I know you guys sometimes kind of roll your eyes when I talk about how the team chemistry is, but at some point you got to buy into it, because I swear to God, it's like every player on the team at some point has been like, look, I've never been around anything like this. And you saw last night, that was a complete team effort, right? I think Cantor was the only starter to not be in double digits. I think he had 8. Everyone else has contributed. And while the series has clearly been Dame and CJ, you have gotten something each and every night from someone else on the roster that has played big. And I do. I think that this is the sum of the parts is better than the individuals. And you are seeing a team right now simply outplay a collection of players for Oklahoma City.
Yeah, and then you look at their defense. I think their defense has been absolutely stellar.
Well,
this is the best defense that they can play. I mean, they're not a great defensive team, but they have been very, very good, particularly at the rim in this series.
Yes, and I want to give credit to CJ, who I think has been a little overlooked in this series because obviously the attention's been to Lillard, and he deserves it. But CJ has been a monster on the offensive end, and he is playing good defense. CJ had a great stretch where we had the big block on Paul George. He came down, hit the three. He's taking some charges. CJ is the last 2 years, Damian's defense has risen, and you kind of pointed to that, and you were waiting for CJ, and you don't know if this will be consistent or not, but I think CJ's defense, even last year in that New Orleans series, I thought CJ's defense was better in the postseason. He played his ass off, and you are seeing the effort and the commitment to it, starting with those two guards, where it is not just this glaring hole anymore on this basketball team. And as good as the offense has been, I think Portland's defense is something that needs to be talked about. They held Oklahoma City again to less than 100 points.
Yeah, and then you look at the other guys. I was just looking through Ferguson, Noel, Grant, Schroeder, Morris, Felton, all these guys for Oklahoma City. Don't they just feel like they're walking on eggshells?
Yes.
Like, they're all just trying to do their own thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, I've never seen this in the league where you just have such a stark contrast in two teams like this. Like, the Blazers are the exact opposite of Oklahoma City.
It feels a little bit like LeBron, but without the, I don't know, the sheer star power of LeBron, you know, because he covers up so many holes for everybody. But I feel like that Oklahoma City team is a poor man's version of LeBron James, where it just feels like it's one guy and everyone else, and that's Westbrook, and then obviously Paul George, who I think plays a weird, odd second fiddle to Russell Westbrook, even though I think he's by far their best player. And it just, it doesn't work. It's the LeBron model minus LeBron, and that doesn't work. Not when you're facing a team that is talented and just is a better team than you are and is better coached and is playing harder.
And I mean, on the Blazers side, Cantor's the perfect example of the culture and fitting right in. I mean, how many teams in the league could lose their third best player, by far best front court player, and then just take a guy off the street and then have him be a contributor in a playoff series like this?
Yeah, and I think that's a good, he's a good example because he's comfortable. Like, how many, you're going to waltz into Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook and Paul George as, you know, Kenter used to play there, but let's just say they go and acquire Rodney Hood and he jumps into their lineup.
Yep.
You think he's comfortable around those guys?
No.
He's looking over his shoulder like, should I shoot this? Should I not shoot this? And that's the problem with Oklahoma City, and it's glaring. And that is the exact opposite for the Blazers, and it is also glaring. And that is due to Stotts. It's due to Lillard. It's due to McCollum and all the other guys accepting their roles. Nobody thinks they're bigger than their role. And it's just, and it's at least for a series, it's working. But let's not, you know, throw any parades here. First of all, they haven't won the series. But second, you know, I've said this a million times, but it's like sometimes, like, why are we so, with a player like Lillard, who is showing his true MVP level greatness right now, why are we doing cartwheels if they just get out of the first round? Like, where did we get to this place?
That would be 10 straight playoff losses. I think that's how you get to this place.
So I'm just saying that in terms of context. Like, just, you know, this is great. They needed this. Lillard needed this. McCollum needed this. The franchise needed this. If they finish it off, of course. But we think that they will. But it's just like, it's kind of frustrating in a way, too. It's like, oh, my God.
We should have expected more, is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, I don't think just winning a playoff series is reason to, with a player like Lillard, I think your priorities should be thinking bigger than that and always have been to think bigger than that. But we've kind of gotten to this place where it's like, ah, see, Rop's always been wrong and I've always been right because they're going to get out of the first round. Well, no.
I don't think
anything's changed. It's the first round.
Yeah.
But it feels so good because they haven't sniffed this in 3.5 years.
Yeah.
All right, text the Better You Today text line 55305. We'll get to some of your text messages coming up next. Will they finish it off?
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, to the text line. Blazers lead the Thunder. Will they finish it off? Game 5 tomorrow. Better You Today text line 55305. Could it be argued right now, Lillard, the greatest trailblazer, greatest leader, ambassador, ?
I think you can make the argument. I mean, obviously, Walton had a short time here, but he won a title. I think Drexler still, I mean, Drexler is one of you're talking about, what, the third, probably fourth best shooting guard of all time, one of the 50 greatest players, didn't win a title here, but went and got one in Houston, you know, made multiple final runs. I'm going to say Clyde if you're going to go greatest Blazer. I mean, Lillard is phenomenal, but I, you know, as far as the career accomplishments go, at least at this point, I think that you're still long, long ways from being Clyde.
Well, he's certainly adding to the evidence bin.
Yes.
For him. But I'm with you in terms of, well, accomplishments. It's like, it's hard to, I mean, the guy's great, but will we look back and lament how little he had around him? I mean, it's not like he's running, you know, he's running point for those early 90s teams or those teams that that with Roy and Aldridge and Odin or...
Look, he's on the...
Or the Rasheed Wallace.
He's on the Mount Rushmore, and if he stays here...
But I'm just saying, like, we're talking about... You talk about the... Now, the guys from the early 90s are revered.
Yes.
Special group.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is accomplishments, but a lot of it is the team that was assembled. The guys in the early 2000s, not as revered, but just as good, damn near won the whole damn thing, right?
Yeah.
Great teams, but they're not as likable. And then you get Lillard, who didn't have those types of teams. He has not had those types of teams.
No.
So how do you hold that against him? when comparing him to, you know, the Clydes or the Porters or the Wallaces or the Stoudemires or the Brandon Roys or the, you know what I mean?
To me, he has clearly put himself already on the short list of the great Blazers of all time. If he signs a long-term extension and finishes his career, he probably goes down as number one or number two. And I think that with this team assembled, and if this isn't fool's gold, if this is opening a window here and Nurk comes back, you can add another piece to this. I think you're entering Lillard's prime years and the next, let's say, 4 years of his career here in Portland,
was
4 to 5 years.
28?
I think he's 28, 29. And this is going to tell ultimately the legacy of Damian Lillard. Mm-hmm. What you do now from here on out, if you feel like this team has grown and developed and you're no longer, I mean, it's the second year in a row you've been the number three seed. You're going to get out of the first round of the playoffs. You would think you're going to get a favorable matchup in the second round, whether it's Denver or San Antonio. If it's San Antonio, you're going to have home court again. So if you can start putting together some seasons again like this, where you're constantly the 3-2 seed, you're getting out of the first round, you're making deep runs into the postseason, I think this is where Lillard in the coming years really puts his flag of what he means to this franchise and stakes his claim to the greatest of all time.
He'll be 29 in July.
Yeah. And you would think, like, if Nurkic comes back, right, this may be a run here where we start looking Portland not as a, oh, it's a nice little regular season team, as a real contender, one of the top three teams in the Western Conference. And Golden State, if Durant takes a leave, as most people think he will next year, and goes to New York, that this is going to open this up even more. And I think a lot of fans, and I don't think that this is like a stupid thing to fantasize about. I think if they can make a run into the Western Conference Finals this year, or even a deep run into the second round, enough people have come here now and have commented on the organization and the culture and the leadership of Lillard that you may be able to finally get someone now, an all-star level player that looks at this and wants to come sign up, that wants to come be a part of this. And you add one more piece to this thing with a healthy Nurkic, and maybe now you really are talking about a team that could really do some damage and be a serious contender.
And I know that, you know, Bill Walton obviously won the title. I know he was playing against a bunch of plumbers back then, but he won the title, so I guess that's probably why people put him at number one. So if Lillard never wins a title, that's kind of where the debate goes.
Did you
know?
Say playing against a bunch of plumbers?
Yeah. Walton was beating up on some plumbers back then, wasn't he?
Boy, that is... I don't even know what to say to that. Yeah. That is unacceptable on a lot of levels. Like, that is
it was
such
a joke. You didn't like it?
Oh, well, if you were joking, that's one thing.
Yeah, it was
but
a joke.
I think a lot of people are going to look at that and go, that little S-head. Dude, those guys were awesome back in the day.
Yeah.
You didn't want to mess with those dudes.
No.
That team was legit.
Yep. And if they've been able to stay together and stay healthy, you know, it's...
Very condescending of you.
I was saying that he beat up on plumbers, not that he was a plumber.
Yeah, I understand. I think it's... Yeah. Anyway.
And this guy says best. Love Dame, but Clyde took his team to two finals, not just the second round. And that's...
Yeah, that's right. But again, how much of that is on Lillard?
Still, Lillard, over these next couple of years now, this is where Lillard tries to... he's got an opportunity to put his legacy there, but boy, Clyde was something else.
Here's Deal. He's in, and he says, they'll win, and I still think they need to trade CJ. Damian Lillard is the same player and better. No reason for CJ to be starting with Dame.
Well, again, we'll see what happens as this playoff continues.
I think that's interesting because I think the narrative has shifted. You're so starved for playoff success that now that you get a little bit of it, still haven't even won the first-round series.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's blasphemous now all of a sudden, right? Well, is it? Like, I think the official, like, the original narrative on Damian Lillard and CJ was, you're not going to win a championship with those two. They're too similar, too ball-dominant.
And does winning not a series against,
too small.
Does winning a series against Oklahoma City change that?
That's right. And that's the thing is, like, we're kind of so starved for playoff success. Now that you get a little bit of it, you dream a little bit. But at the same time, this is what people have been saying about those two for a long time. Is that they're not going to win a title together. They're too small, not enough defense, too ball dominant, too similar. And just because you're up 3-1 in one series against Oklahoma City doesn't change any of that.
So I said, it'll be interesting to see what happens as this gets a little further along and You see what this team is actually capable of doing.
And yes, Preston, he's knocked me off my rocker here with that comment.
With the plumber comment?
I just thought that was such a low blow.
Furnace operators.
And so the listeners are thinking of things that I should have said that I was speechless. He's calling Dr. J a plumber.
Now,
don't say I don't know who Dr. J is.
There were a lot of people, players in that era that were, you know, they were plumbers. They wouldn't play in today's age. There were. Right. Dr. J was not a plumber, but there were a lot of plumbers in that era.
Was George Gervin a plumber?
No, but there were some bench players that were plumbers.
Wow. Yeah. The kids these days. I tell you
there
what.
There were.
No, they're adorable, right?
It is cute. Hashtag Preston Logic.
I was trying to find the all NBA team from that 77. So you got Pete Maravich? He was a bum.
Plumber.
No, it's not the all-stars that I'm talking about. Yeah. Some of these other guys
who
were plumbers.
You know who else was a real bum? Was that Jabbar guy. Last time I checked, he was a real piece of crap.
Well, those guys, what I would say about the plumbers that you're talking about.
No, I'm not talking about the all-stars.
I understand what you're talking about, Preston. What I would say about them is that they are better basketball players than the vast majority of today's NBA. It's just that today's NBA is infinitely more athletic.
Yes.
Yeah.
But in terms of basketball players, the game of basketball, the fundamentals, playing the game, those guys would run circles around these guys. They're just not as athletic.
Yeah, it's not someone's fault that, like, the idea of training at that point was still smoking menthols and doing some push-ups.
Yeah,
right?
And some of those guys, Larry Bird, he used to have a blue-collar job during his basketball days.
Just shut up.
He did.
And stop chewing your gum on the air. It's driving me crazy. You're driving me crazy.
He doesn't like the plumber take.
It's like when Preston said that he would rather have Patrick Mahomes would have more titles than Tom Brady,
right,
if he played in the Patriot system.
You said that too.
Yeah, I think he objectively would.
Yeah, that was his hot take.
He's sticking with it.
He's had 1 year of it. Oh yeah, Pat Mahomes.
He's like one of the best years in NFL history.
All right, it is 5:48. When we come back, Big Sook's sexy spring football recap.
Ooh, all right.
Because I got some texts. I got some texts from the Duck Bros, from my Duck Bro buddies. They were telling me their thoughts.
A certain quarterback. Already there's controversy.
Whoa. That'll be next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
So I was looking up the plumbers from that 1977 Sixers finals team that lost to the Blazers.
Yeah. And electricians.
Plumbers and electricians are World Be Free, Caldwell Jones, Henry Bibby, Daryl Dawkins. A lot of plumbers in there.
I bet you Daryl Dawkins could swing a mean wrench. Yeah.
Henry Bibby? Come
on. Between breaking backboards.
Yeah, Henry Bibby averaged 10 points a game on that team.
Like, I would not sniff a roster today in the finals.
Well, again, it's 1977. It's like saying the teams from the 60s in the NFL, right? It's like, did they all suck too? Because none of those guys would sniff the field.
No, I'm not saying they sucked. So it's not what I'm saying about
the
elite
players.
No,
he's just calling them plumbers. Like, not even worthy of playing in the league, just plumber. And by the way, what do you got against plumbers? Plumbers are great.
No, pick your profession.
Pick your blue-collar job. It's not just plumbers.
Wait
furnace
till you
operators.
Have a wait till you have a plumbing problem. Furnace, an HVAC.
God, I love hot take guy. You know who's another hot take guy here? Will.
Yeah, Will Darkins.
Because Darkins is texting and he agrees with Preston.
Yeah, Will brings his hot takes.
We got some hot take guys.
Preston believes.
Oh, Will
like,
just texted me, you're getting Rops goat.
Preston feels like if he was alive like in 1977 that he would be in the NBA.
Right.
It's one
right.
of those things.
I'd have a better shot than I would today.
God. Okay, so were you at the spring game? Or
I
you,
was not at the spring game. You
taking notes?
You couldn't pay me to go to a spring game.
Did you watch it on Pac-12 Network? I bet you did.
No, I caught glimpses of it, of both the
Beavs. No, we're talking the Ducks.
The Ducks and the Beavs. I check in, and then they'll replay those things on the Pac-12 Network, and I'll tune in from time to time to watch those, and you read kind of recaps. But for the most part, you couldn't get me to care less about spring games. But that being said, between now and the start of football season, I will watch at least a quarter or two of probably every Pac-12 spring game because they show them and you Saturday afternoon, you flip around, nothing else on.
So I got several Oregon fan texts, you know, Duck Bros.
Sure.
Texting
and it's all about the backup quarterback, bro.
Well, I didn't get any of that, but I did see...
Their pants are tight right now.
I did see people, I think like Dirt and some of those guys, or Dusty maybe, I think, were tweeting about down. Alex, or...
Shuck.
What's his first name?
Is it Tyler? Tyler Shuck?
Tyler Shuck, the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
They were going crazy about him. I didn't get any personal texts on that. I got one from a buddy who said, oh, Herbert looks terrible. I'm like, well, 2-10.
People... It's hilarious because there is, and I feel like maybe I started this, but I don't fully understand the Justin Herbert thing. I think it's a lot of potential and hasn't really backed up. And maybe some people are getting frustrated with that, but I feel like there is a certain segment of Oregon fans that at the first sign of Herbert struggling are going to do the, get rid of Chuck. He's the next great one.
God, I hope not.
I mean, it's a spring game, and people are acting like the guy's the Messiah. Like, they are in love with
him.
Or
if he gets, like, a little mop-up time, and he goes, like, 11 of 11, people are like, oh.
Put him in. Put him in. Ah, Herbert's a bum.
Herbert's a plumber.
They've defended Herbert year after year after year.
I just ticked off a bunch of plumbers. I'm looking at the text line here.
Damn right.
A lot of people getting offended.
Well, to be fair, though, to Oregon fan, they haven't had
you're an idiot.
They haven't had a backup quarterback, and now they feel like they have one. And who's the most popular guy in the world? The backup quarterback. So it's a good problem to have, right? It's nice to have a backup quarterback you feel confident in, but I mean, geez, people, if you're going off of a spring game for why the guy's going to be the savior of the program, yeah, pump the brakes a little bit.
So what was the big takeaway of the spring games?
Well, at least from what I saw, that Chuck at Oregon was a big deal. And just that, again, the scene that they created, there was 35,000 people, ton of recruits, and it's just this wave of momentum. I feel, and whether it's warranted or not, who knows? We'll see what happens when they get on the field, but Oregon right now, I cannot remember a time where a Pac-12 program had this much buzz and excitement without really having backed it up on the field, right? I mean, it was a good year last year. It certainly wasn't a great year. You beat UW, got your ass kicked by Washington State. I mean, you went to a bowl game. It ended up being a solid year, but it just appears right now that they are riding a national wave of momentum from the recruitment thing to, I mean, their strength coach is being featured in Sports Illustrated. It just seems like there is this giant buzz around the Oregon program, and now all you have to do is go out and win, which kind of is the hard part.
Well,
but
it's not just go out and win. They got to win like 10, at least 10 games to satisfy people, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, they're setting themselves up down there.
I think there honestly is a real feeling right now down in Eugene that anything short of Pac-12 title and a shot at a college football playoff is going to be viewed as a disappointment. And I mean, I get why. Like I said, there's a ton of hype behind it, but you actually have to go out now and win games. You got to go out and you got to back
up. Not just
up.
That. You got to win pretty much all of them.
You
can only trip up once, right?
Well, the Auburn game will be huge. I mean, that's going to be enormous. You beat Auburn to start it down in Jerry's World, and that drum is real. I'm talking about the hype drum is going to go into overtime. You lose it, and we'll see what happens.
All right. We got to run. Coming up next, the most overrated and underrated things to do in Portland. And it was only a matter of time before we got fake a vacation.
Fake a vacation? It's a social media thing?
Yep.
I got to come clean about something. I did not.
You faked a vacation?
I faked a vacation. Oh, wait. I didn't post any pictures on social media. So it'd be easier for me to fake it, right? I can just say that I went. And who's to say that I didn't?
No. You can't say it. You have to show it.
I gotta show it.
On the
gram.
On the snaps, bro.
Yeah, I didn't take any
Talk
photos.
Talk to Preston about that. the club is coming up next.
A couple of boomerangs.
On the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.